Life in favor. Life in favor. Life in favor. Favor in life. Life in favor upon me. 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 You brought me out.
Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you again for life in favor. Thank you for grace and mercy, compassion, long suffering. And Lord, rather than belabor the list, we'll just tell you that we thank you for everything. For we know, God, how much you love us. And there's nothing you wouldn't do for us. In fact, Lord, we celebrate as saints of old would celebrate by simply saying you've been better to us than we could have ever been to ourselves. You've looked beyond every fault. You've met every need. You've just been good. And so, God, we thank you. Pray, God, that we would be found someday worthy. Sacrifice that you've made for us. We've all come to know that you love the world so much that you gave your only son. We just want to live worthy. We're honored to be called the children of God. In fact, Lord, we fall right in the category when the scriptures declare, what is man that thou art mindful of him? God, you think about us all the time. And we're just so honored to be called the children of God. Now, God, again, we've come to this moment where we would hear from you. And so we pray that your voice would cascade down upon us. And that we'll hear you above everything. Oh God, speak to us and be so kind, sir, as to meet us in the place of our greatest need. Sir, we would see Jesus. And so God, make it clear for us. Come closer. James said that we draw near unto you. You draw near unto us. So God, come closer, we pray. Allow us to enter into the sacred and holy place. The veil has already been removed. Grant us access. Oh God, that your anointing would fall afresh. And Lord, help me, help them, help us. This is our prayer. And again, Lord, we ask that you would forgive us of our sins. We're really trying to do the best we know how. Give us this day. That is our prayer. Hear us, kind sir. In the name of Jesus. And the redeemed of the Lord said amen, 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 and amen. Come on, put your hands together and bless the Lord. Come on, we can do better than that. Come on, let's bless the Lord. The world needs our gospel. If they would but hear from us, they will know. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Grab your Bibles, your electronic devices. Grab your Kindle, your iPad, your tablets. Whatever you have. The old school Bible is still good in this place. Amen. We still accept the old school version. Amen. It is not outlawed. It is not outdated nor antiquated. It is welcome in this place. There's nothing like the sound of people turning pages in the house of God. Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. Romans 5. It's always good to see you. It's good to have Dr. Corbett and Lady Corbett with us. After an extensive world travel, they are with us. And we're honored to always have the preacher and the lovely First Lady with us. And all of you special in this place. Would you continue to pray for Brother Jesse Davis and his family as they continue to mourn the loss of his sister? And let's just pray one for the other. Could you do your neighbor a favor? Just glance over there at your neighbor and just tell them, if only if you can say it honestly, I'll be praying for you. Amen. Amen. I'll do it for you. Amen. Remind them, now don't stop praying for yourself, but I'll be praying for you. Romans 5, beginning at verse 1, I have a New Living Translation. I just want to lift up a little bit to build upon here. And it says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of highest privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they are good for us. They help us learn to endure, and endurance develops strength of character in us. And character strengthens our confident expectation of salvation. And this expectation will not disappoint us. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. God bless you. You may prepare to be seated. Amen. I do want to say this to you as we move along very quickly. It is my intention to spend these last few weeks building and encouraging hope in the people of God. So we've shifted our focus, if you will, to preach on that theme, to encourage us that we might race to the end of this year and be ready to race through the next year. Sometimes you get toward the end of the year, you get tired, you start feeling like I'm just wore out and I just don't know what to do next. But I want to encourage you, and that is my intention in these last few weeks we have to share. This is kind of like in the gospel church, the bonus Sunday, where you get fifth Sunday, you know. It'd be surprising to me, there are still churches that don't have church on fifth Sunday. I ain't never figured that one out, but this is our fifth Sunday, amen, and so we've come to celebrate. So do me a favor, as we keep encouraging each other, if you've been paying attention the last few weeks, that's what we've been trying to do, encourage you. And so do me a favor today, find somebody that you want to encourage and tell them that the pastor wants you to know it's not the fight you're in, it's the fight in you. It's not the fight you're in, it's the fight in you. A few weeks ago, we were fortunate to receive the news, at least on my part, of in the World Wrestling Arena, in the ladies' division, there was a young champion by the name of Ronda Rousey. She talked too much for me. She bragged too much for me. And I was always waiting on somebody to give her her comeuppance. I couldn't wait till she got taken down. I know you might be thinking to yourself, now, Reverend, come on. No, she talked too much. And it's one thing to beat folk, but it's another thing to beat down folk. You know, and she had gotten to the point where she was beating everybody lickety-split, you know, 59 seconds and 28 seconds. You know, people done paid good money for pay-per-view and a fight over like that. You want some money back, you know. If for no other reason, the audience deserved more than that. Huh? Well, about 2 weeks ago, Ms. Holmes made it clear to her that this fight is in me. See, you realize now, beloved God, that you can build a certain reputation for being a bad dude, a bad gal. You can build a reputation off your former victories. And your opponents start thinking to themselves, well, you know, I don't know how I'm going to size up in this one. But I'll tell you right now that it ain't always the fight that you're in. It's the fight that's in you. And I see it right here in the text, because what Paul is saying to the church is there are going to be some fights. There are going to be some situations, but you're going to have to realize that you can win. That there is no worse way to go into a circumstance or a trial or tribulation and think yourselves already defeated. Amen. You got to go in saying, I got this. Amen. Matter of fact, if you never had a chance to say it before, go ahead and look at your neighbor, give a little dap or something, and tell him, I got this. Yeah. Whatever this is, I got this. And do understand that everybody in the room is in a fight. Everybody's fight. Everybody right now has heard the bell ring. We don't know what round you're in. We don't know how the scorecard looks, but I'm telling you now, I know you're in a fight. How do you know that, Pastor? I've been minding my own business. I ain't bothering nobody. Things going rather well. Well, that's covert operations. The devil would have you to think that you're not in a fight. And when he busts you upside your head in your marriage, or busts you upside your head in your finances, bust you upside your head with your job or your children, he gonna knock you out. Jess, LL Cool J said, Mama said, knock you out. You get instruction from Mama, you got to do what Mama said. The devil wants all of us to think there is no fight. That we're in a breezy season, you know, the cool winds of favor are blowing upon us. Everything is just fine and dandy. Look at your name and say, for now. Because anybody in the room that's lived more than 22 minutes can tell you that things have a habit of changing rather quickly. Yeah, in fact, there's a biblical context that says, and it came upon us. Things happen very quickly. And so what Paul wants the church to know is you have an advantage. Y'all missed the shot right there. Everybody in the room has an advantage. Paul told the church, if God be for us, y'all ain't nowhere to holler right there. He said, listen, please understand that no matter what happens in this life, he said, because first of all, what we do know and must agree upon is that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love that we have come to know in Christ Jesus. He said, no peril, no distress, no shortcomings, no heartaches, no lies, no deception. Nothing shall be able to separate us because he loves us. And because he loves us, he gonna help us win. Oh, come on, David. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley and the shadow of death, I ain't scared. I got this. David said, how do you know I got? He said, because his rod and his staff, they comfort me. Let your neighbor tell him, you ain't got the pace to flow. You might as well go and lay down. You might as well get you your 8 hours, because the rod and the staff are on duty. Say amen, somebody. And when God made a promise, I said, I got this. Paul said to the church, Paul says, you got to learn how to be strong in the Lord. Yeah. What? He said, you gotta learn to be courageous and lion-hearted. Yeah. Amen. You know, they tell me, Dr. Corbett, that another version of the Wiz is coming on this week. They got some new characters. They got Queen Latifah playing as the great and powerful Oz, and they got Stephanie Mills. They bring in a throwback version. She needed the job. She ain't had no money in a while. You ain't heard nothing from Stephanie Mills. She needed a check. They put Stephanie Mills in there, and they got David Greer, you know, as the lion, and they got people in there, you know. And the thing I like about it is that the story of the Wizard of Oz, regardless of who tells it, is pretty much the same. You know, Tin Man need a heart, Scarecrow need a brain, but my favorite character is the lion.
You know, I like the lion. In the old version, Luther, when the lion, you know, immediately he tried to play all tough, tough, woof, woof. And as soon as Toto bite him, you know, he go to, ah, no, no, no. But then when a lion gets his heart, woo, when, listen, look at your name and say, when you get your heart. I can see it now. You're going to woof. You know, when you're the lion, you can't be no scary lion. You can't be no kitty cat lion. You got to be a roar lion. Yeah. Look at your name, tell me you get your roar back. Yeah. You know, don't come in here meow, meow. I need some folk with some roar in them. Listen, you need to get in the line. You need to go down the yellow brick road and get you some heart, because the Bible says that we got to be more than conquerors. Amen. Can I give you some good news? You were designed to go undefeated. Yeah, you were never designed to be nothing and nothing but owing something. You're supposed to be a winner. You were designated to. In fact, I've come to tell you now, in case you don't know, that if in fact things start going the wrong way, God will cheat. Some of y'all know God has cheated for y'all. That's why you hear folks say, Dr. Dixon, I could have been dead and sleeping, and God cheated. Some of y'all know you should have been laid off in the first wave, but God cheated. Some of you know that they should have repossessed that car by now, but God cheated. Some of you know that you didn't marry with good counsel. You didn't go down the aisle with good counsel, but you hung in there because God cheated. Am I right about it? Somebody ought to look at somebody and say, you ought to be glad that God cheated, because I'd have had my way. But God does that because he's God. And so he said, if God be for us, it's going to help us to develop endurance. It's going to help us to develop character. It's going to give us a confident hope. Why? Because we're saved. That's the part I really wanted to get to. And y'all be gone most directly. Somebody looking at their watch saying, wait a minute, it's 11:55. I know how to tell time. But I'm telling you now that the reason why you got a good fight in you is because he saved you. No, too many of y'all too long to come around. Sister Ava, I'm going to try to tell them again. The only reason that you are still yet alive and still winning is because he saved you. Okay, now some of y'all thinking about it, I'll try one more time. I am telling you now that there is no greater cause of celebration than the fact that the salvation of Christ came knocking on your door. You didn't save yourself. You didn't find him. You didn't pick yourself up. Jesus saves from the uttermost to the guttermost. But you ought to thank God here and now. Your shout ought to be, he saved me. Your shout ain't in how much money you make. It ain't in what you drive. You have to shout because you had the hope of salvation. And indeed, if it had not been for the goodness of the Lord and his mercy and grace, but more than anything, he shed his blood and he saved us. He saved us. I said he saved us. And he said, please understand that I was glad to do it. He said, I came to save you. When they criticized him, I'm just about there. When they criticized him, Dean Davis, they told him, you hanging out with the wrong folk. You're hanging out with wine drinkers, and you're hanging out with whoremongers, and you're hanging out with people of low estate. Jesus said, yes, you're so right. He said, and I'm so honored to be among them. In fact, he says to the Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes, if you knew what was good for you, you'd hang out with them too. Am I right about it? Aren't you glad that Jesus saves? And it ain't because you did everything right. Aren't you glad that the Lord picked you up and turned you around? Aren't you glad that the Lord let you get on his committee? Aren't you glad he let you sing in his choir and play his piano, usher on his door? Aren't you glad that of all the houses you could have came in, God let you come up in his house? Aren't you glad that he looked beyond your faults and met your need? Aren't you glad that Jesus won't tell your secret? Aren't you glad he don't air dirty laundry? Aren't you glad he saved you? Somebody ought to throw their head back and go, whoa! Thank you, Lord. And so he saved me. You ain't going to get out that early. You're going to get out early, but it won't be that early. He said, please understand, we can rejoice when we run into stuff. Oop, daddy. How many of you can testify that some of the stuff that happened, you just ran into it?
Come on.
We say that sometimes. I ran into an old friend. I ran into a situation. We didn't intentionally mess up, but we messed up. Don't start looking away now. Keep looking. Keep looking, because I'm talking to you. He said we can rejoice.
Yes, sir.
Now, the world may think it's strange, Sister Carrie, that we're rejoicing because we have a problem.
Yeah.
Well, you have a choice. You can either cry about it or you can rejoice.
Yeah.
Crying ain't going to change nothing.
That's right.
There's an old Chinese proverb that simply says, when you have cried all your tears, it still remains the same. Amen. How many of you know that? You done cried and cried and wake up in the morning, it's still ugly. It's still bad. It ain't nothing changed because you cried. You can't cry it away. But I do know that there is a biblical context that was found in the commercial world that said you can shout it out. You can shout your way through it. And that's rejoicing. That's telling God, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Woo, Lord, it's bad. Thank you. I'm all right now. I think I'm going to be all right. He said, you've got to learn how to rejoice. And then he said this. He said, because what's happening to us is about character. It's about development. The simple fact of the matter is, when we, the elect and enlisted of God, are going through life, we've got to go through all of life. Ain't no cakewalk here. This is hard charging stuff right here. Don't read the Bible as a casual observer. Read it for instructions on how to get through some of that stuff. Said, oh, I see what they did to Moses. I better be ready for that. Oh, I see how folk turned on David. I got to get ready for that. Oh, I see how they set Joseph up. I got to get ready for that. How many know that in your family, three things are always going to happen? Somebody going to push you up the creek. Somebody going to abandon you. And somebody going to disown you. It happened to Moses. His mama pushed him up the creek. She abandoned him and disowned him. It happens all the time. Tell your neighbor, I know what that's like. It's going to happen eventually. Somebody is going to push you up the creek. And so it is that we are in a life that is filled with trouble. Come here, Jesus. What did you say? In this life. Well, Lord, did you have to say that? Yeah. In this life. No, nobody in here is Teflon. Nobody don't get no free pass. Preachers, pastors, leaders, you don't get no free pass. As a deacon now, I expect everything going to go just fine for me here forth. No, sir. You know, like I know, the deaconess might be your first problem. As a pastor now, you know, like I know, the first lady might be the first problem. Ain't no kid like pastor's kid.
Well,
that's going to be a problem. I'm a trustee now. Look like I'm hitting my stride. No, it's some other trustees going to be a problem. In other words, look at the name and say, you know, this ain't no encouragement whatsoever. In this life.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're suggesting there's another life. Well, yes, but you got to get through this life. He says, well, to fact, the matter is, when you came into the body of Christ, they lied to you. When did they lie to me, Pastor? When they didn't tell you the truth. When you came in the body of Christ, who sat you down and read this verse? No, they told you now that you're in the body of Christ, everything going to be fine. The Lord going to put his shadow over you and you're going to be covered. You know, we walk around now talking about the covering and favor. We'll never talk about the hard stuff. All these old shout house churches where folk running up 9 high, flipping on the floor, they ain't telling you the whole story because they ain't there shouting. The reason she's shouting because her husband won't come to church. Yeah. The reason she's shouting because her children crazy too. Oh, come on now. Oh, everybody running and hubba, 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 and get outside and got a black eye waiting on them. They still ain't got no job. All that shouting, they still got bills to pay. All that dancing and speaking in tongues, they still got hell waiting on them. The truth of the matter is, it's not the fight that you're in, it's the fight that's in you. Y'all look at somebody and tell them, you have no idea what it took for me to get here. Because that's the reality of where we are. He said, in this life, right here, right now, you're going to have some trouble. So he reminds me, he said, well, if that's the case, Lord, somebody should have told me that this walk requires a great deal of courage. Courage. Courage means that you face it because you got to. Doesn't mean I like it. Doesn't mean I'm going in thinking the fix is it, but I got to deal with it. How many ever told yourself, let me go ahead and get this over with? Because until you get it over with, it ain't going to be over. Simple philosophy, Addison. Until you get it over, you got to engage in order to overcome. He said, you got to be strong. He said, therefore, be strong. Be strong in your service. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying do something. Too many folks sitting around in the church weak, impotent, and wonder why the service of the Lord and the kingdom is lacking. Do something. For God's sake, find a place to serve God. Find something that you can do that'll give God a greater glory. Instead of sitting around with your arm full time, there they go again. How about here we go again? Come on now. Do something. How to be strong so that you can get through your suffering. Suffering's going to come to everybody. I said suffering is going to come to everybody. Am I right about it? So you got to learn how to get strong. So when you're suffering, you can keep celebrating. You got to throw the devil off. You got to throw your naysayers off. They know he left you. They know you don't have no job. They know you got a little bit of food. But when they see you standing up celebrating and waving, they start thinking to themselves, now, wait a minute now. Look at her. She's still on the choir. He's still coming every Sunday. What is going on? We know he in trouble. How many know that folk know you're in trouble? Amen. In fact, let's just stop the rumor mill and look at everybody and find somebody to tell them, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. You don't have to wait for nobody to tell it. I just told it. Yes, I would do a song right there, but the church ain't ready for it. But I'm in trouble. He said, you gotta learn how to survive. Listen, don't drown in a puddle of your own tears. Some of us are just crybabies. Wow. I'm about finished. The least little thing. Don't look at nobody right now. They think you're telling on them. I mean, somebody, it don't take much for some of y'all to just throw a pity party. I mean an extravagant pity party with crystal vase and fine china and embroidered invitation. You just pity party par excellence. We ain't coming to no more of them. We ain't coming to no more cry fest. You just cry too much. You act like you the only one. You cry so much, none of us can't get a cry in. You out crying everybody. Give us a chance to cry. Look at two people who cry too much and say, we talking about you. Y'all scared him. You know you want to say it. Reverend, help us today to identify these excessive cries. You don't even let nobody else cry. So he said, listen, you're going to have to be strong. I'm going to turn my corner here. He said, because it's going to happen. So he says, when we run into these things, what is our response? How do we handle it? Well, first thing he tells us is trust the Lord. That's the first thing he says. Trust the Lord. Yeah. If you're going to cry, Eric, take that napkin with you.
Don't want the world to see you cry. Go ahead.
He says, you gotta trust the Lord. Now, see, this is something, Dr. Corbett, I didn't think I'd have to put in here, but I think Paul is making it clear that not everybody trusts the Lord. Mm-hmm. He says, now, since we've been made right with God, we know that God's going to look out for us. Solomon comes along again and says, you got to give it your whole heart. Why? He said, because there's a privilege now that we can confidently know that the glory of God is ours to share. Yeah, yeah. Glory always is greater after grief. Yeah. Y'all missed it. I'm telling you now, you're going to discover that the folk who have more significance to their shout are the folk that have been through more significant storms. That's why Paul was good at testimony. Because Paul said, I know what I'm talking about. I've been shipwrecked. I've been beaten. I had a bad day. But what I do know is weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning.
Let me bring some of this water out first.
You got to understand. He said, listen, you got to learn how to trust God. Don't just think God going to heist up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing and you don't trust him. Don't be talking about God put food on your table and clothes on your back and you don't trust him. Don't talk about I had a little talk with Jesus and you don't trust him. You got to trust the Lord. And then Reverend Muriel, he said you got to try him. Try him. You got to try. You got to try him. He works. But Dr. Dixon, I believe a whole lot of folk ain't tried the Lord. You tried everything else.
Come on, Pastor.
I don't want to go down the list of what folk done tried, Jess. It'll upset service. But you tried everything else. Some of y'all went right there, didn't you? You went right there. Try the Lord.
Yeah.
Bible says when you call upon the name, he'll be there. He's a very present help. You got to try him. And don't be afraid to let him know you're trying. I can't do it by myself. I got to try him. Then he said, when you try him, the second side of it, don't tempt him. Don't tempt God. Don't be trying to put the blame on God. Don't be throwing that, if the Lord wanted it to happen, what am I? No, don't talk like that. You got to hold your tongue like that. You got to try him, but don't tempt him. Because our natural strength is weakness. That's the reality. Say it again, what, Reverend? I say our natural strength is weakness. You can't make it by yourself. Don't be at odds with God when what you need to do is let him provide, protect, and pursue. What you just, I said, let him do it. Pursue who? Your enemies. God will put your enemy on the run if you let him. He'll provide for you. He's a providential God. He's a protecting God. But he said, let me put them to flight. And when you do that, you're going to win the fight. What you need to understand is, and these are the second series of the subpoints. Now we can go home here directly. Confrontation is common along the course. Everybody going to hit a snag. What the Bible said? The Bible said, please understand, children of God, there is no temptation that has come upon you that is not common to everybody else. Look at your name and say, oh, yeah, now we coming on now. I see. Oh, you thought you were better than I was. Oh, yeah. Everybody is going to have some confrontation. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, is just looking for somebody to jump on. It is common along this course. What course? This course that we take with him.
Yeah.
Jesus proves it. They crucified him.
Yeah.
He wasn't bothering nobody. All he did was fed them when they were hungry, encouraged them, and boom, confrontation. It's common to everybody. And so don't let the world fool you that because you're having a little trouble that you're a bad person. Bad things happen to good people. And if you know like I know, it happens to good people with more frequency than to bad people. Ask Asaph. Asaph said, my foot almost slipped because I saw that bad people seemed to be getting along rather fine. They weren't complaining. They had money. They had leisure. He said, but it looked like to me. But you know what he did? He went to church. He said, but when I got to church that Sunday, I realized that God is up to something. How many know that God is always up to something? He said, I realized then that God operates in a different manner. That's why Grandma and them said, the Lord moves in mysterious ways. Then he says that conflict breeds confidence. How do you know that? He said, because when the devil come after you, God get in front of him. He said, because when your adversary comes after you, God cuts him off. When your adversary lies, God publishes the truth. He said, whenever there's conflict, you just need to be confident. You need to know that I am a winner. I have been designed by God for deliverance. Tell your neighbor, deliverance is your design. We're going home. Deliverance, he said, because one, three things are always happening. With God, it's always personal. What, Pastor? Yes. Why? Because you're his child. Let me see if I can get the parents to holler back at me in here. What parent in here, when somebody messes with your child, it ain't personal? It ain't a parent in here that's a good, decent, halfway good parent that wouldn't go down and dirty for your child. Put your hands on my child, they might as well call the sheriff. How many of y'all have told somebody, you touch my, y'all might as well go and call the police because it's about to go down in my child. Now, you might do a little something for somebody else's child, but when it's your little baby, little nappy-headed rascal, you know he ain't nothing but trouble, but not this time. You know she ain't doing right, but not this time. Why? That's my child. Am I right about it? How many of y'all ever had the Miss Sophia walk on the way to the schoolhouse? How many ever had that Miss Sophia walk when your child call you and say, Mama, you better get down. Oh, no. You coming up the road looking like, listen, why? Because it's personal. Because that's my child. And I'm telling you now, the Bible says, if earthly parents would walk like Miss Sophia and arm themselves to the tooth, how much more do you think your Father in heaven, listen, God will go 1,000 miles to make that thing right. Look at your name and say, help is on the way because it's personal. Why? Because I'm a child of God. I've been bought with a price. I've been purchased by the blood. And if you put your hands on me, my Father gonna straighten this mess out. Not only that, I'm almost there. He said, not only is personal, but because God is powerful. Nobody can whoop God. Y'all in heaven. God has never lost. Not one case. Not one trial. Not one medical condition. Dr. Corbett, I suspect you are a good physician, but I know a better physician than you. I know a doctor that's in every sick room on every sick day. I know somebody who can cut off an undertaker. I know somebody who can turn things around, not with the blink of an eye, but in a nanosecond, because God is all. God is powerful. Bible said, is there anything too hard for God? That little problem that I had, turn it over to the Lord, and he worked it out. Tell your neighbor, I know that's right. I was in a situation I couldn't even spell what I was in, but God worked it out. I didn't even know how much the prescription was, but God worked it out. I didn't know folk could go that low, but God worked it out. I didn't know folk could lie that good, but God worked it out. I didn't know I could hurt that bad, but God worked it out. I didn't know, but God worked it out. Won't he work it out? Won't he work it out? Won't he work it out? God did. And then he says, watch this. Hold on. It's early, but not that early. He said, not only is there to be confidence in the conflict because God keeps it personal and God is powerful, it is also because God protects us. He said, I won't lose not one hair on your head. Now, for people like Luther Palmer, Melvin Dickerson, a few of you others, you might think that God has forgotten about you because you've lost a lot. No, God says, I know how many are left. How many know that God not only knows how many you start with, but he knows how many left? Amen. Thank you, Lord. And some of us have tried to help God by adding some extra hairs on our head. God counts them too. Say amen, somebody. But the fact of the matter is, he's a God of protection. That's why he said, listen, be not discouraged, nor be dismayed. Whatever be tied, I will take care of you. In fact, how many of us have ever felt like we were so rotten and so low that God was going to have to cut us off? Because, in fact, we probably told God, Lord, if you leave me now, I fully understand, because I have shown up in some kind of bad. But God said, no, because if I let you go, other folk going to lose confidence. If I don't keep my arms around you, how many know that when you talk about Lord be a fence, he's a big fence. When you talk about God being shelter in the time, listen, he's a big shelter, but he's a God of protection. That's why David reminds us, I feel a little better. David said, listen, the Lord is my shepherd, and I ain't scared of none of this. I've walked through the valley in the shadow. I've had my bad. I lived in a cave because I had to act like I was crazy, but God wouldn't let my enemies run roughshod over me. How many know that your enemy may catch up, but he won't overtake you? How many know that they may lay traps and snares, but you won't fall in not one of them? Why do you know, Pastor? Because he's a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. Look at your name and say, I saw that coming. I knew y'all were going to try to set me up, but the God I serve told me to keep on marching. God told me every round goes a little bit higher. God said, that which they meant for evil, I can make it for good. Look at your name and say, neighbor, you blessed me anyhow. And so it is, he reminds, he said, listen, there is confrontation and it's common. You got to trust God and try him, but don't tempt him. He reminds us, he said, listen, Sandra, I'm almost there now. He said, conflict breeds confidence, but please understand that his comfort will never be compromised. God said, listen, I don't care how you feel about it. I'm not being insensitive. He said, but I will never compromise on you. I'm telling you now that what I did on yesterday, I can do it again right now. And I know that you're in a bad situation. That's why the Bible said the Lord is our keeper. Look at your name and say, there's nothing like being kept. You got to understand that when David talks about the rod and the staff, it is because God will never compromise. The implements of our warfare are not like those common to everybody else. We have warfare items that are spiritual. And what I've come to tell you in the good news summary is that spiritual weapons will not be compromised, because God is a God of sureness. I say God is, Sister Carrie, don't pass out, but he's a God of sureness. In other words, God said, did you see me last time when I spread the waters of the Red Sea? Did you see me last time when I fed all them hungry folk? Did you see me last time when I was a bridge over their troubled waters? Did you see me last time when I put a baby in Sarah's womb? Did you see me last time when I turned water into wine? Did you see me last time when I was able to bring them up that had been cast down? Did you hear my story when I took 5 loaves and a few little fishes? Did you see me last time? I'm the same God. And because I did it before, I'll shown up do it again. Somebody ought to get the confidence and look up toward heaven and say, Lord, do it again. Do it right now. I need thee. Every hour I need thee. I'm calling on the Lord, because the God I serve, I said, Luther, the God I serve, he's able. I said he's able. I wish I could get one witness that can tell your neighbor, I've been in a fight for a while, but I still got fight in me. I've made up my mind that I'm not going down this time. I've made up my mind that I'm going to be strong in the Lord. I'm going to keep on pressing. I'm going to keep on fighting. I've decided that when the last bell rings, I'll still be standing. I might have been knocked down before, but yet I rise. They lied on me, but yet I rise. I've made up my mind that to God be the glory. Look at her name and say, neighbor, you got to hold on just a little while longer. Hold on, my friend. No cross, no crown. No pain, no gain. Stay right there. Pastor, where should I stay? Should I stay in my mama's house? No, no, no. Should I stay in the club till they close? No, no, no. Should I stay down there by the creek sucking on moonshine? No, no, no. But Pastor, where shall I stay? Stay right there at the foot of the cross. Stay there till the choir stops singing. Stay right there, because right there where the blood came streaming down. Anybody know there's power? Still power. Still power in the blood. Mama said this way, at the cross. At the cross where I first saw the light. Anybody been there? Anybody been there? Can you tell your neighbor there's power in the blood? Wonder working power. Pick me up, power. Turn me around, power. Save my life, power. There's power in the blood. There's a winner in you. Am I right about it? Look at your name and say, neighbor, you got to fight the good fight. Stay right there. Fight the good fight. Bob and weave. Duck and swing. But stay right there. Because therefore, one of these days, laid up for me is my crown. Anybody want your crown? Can you say crown? I need my crown. I work too hard. Come here, grandma. I've come too far to turn back now. Anybody come too far? Can you tell your neighbor? Say, neighbor, after all I've been through, all the hell I fought, all the lies they told, all the trouble I've had, I've come too far. 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 To turn, to lay down, to give up. I'm a winner. Say yeah. Say yeah. Yeah. Ah, yeah. I still got some fight in me. I still got some fight in me. I once was young, but now I'm old. But I still got some fight in me. I got to get mine. Reach over and grab your neighbor and say, neighbor, I got to get mine. After all I've been through, I ain't going to come up short. I'm going to get mine. Why? Because with coronation comes celebration. The Bible said, therefore, laid up for me is a crown that shall be given. See, winners get certain prize and privilege. There is certain pomp and circumstance that goes with winners. If you lose, you are soon forgotten. That's why the record books always record the winners with more prominence than said losers. Now, I would have a line that I'd use right along through here, but because my team is such a loser. But I can talk about Florida State. Winners are always given recognition. And so it is, Dr. Dixon, I believe that's why the Bible says, therefore laid up for me is a crown. That's because I won.
came out a champion. I've been through some things. Had some stuff happen to me. And wasn't everybody else's fault? Sometimes I was my own worst enemy. Mama told me not to come. She said, that ain't no way to have fun. No, but I went down there anyway. Didn't Anderson, you remember the old cadence? Mama told Sally not to go downtown. Too many soldiers hanging around. Sally got bossy and went anyway. 9 months later, she began to sway. That's a military song right there. But some of us know that the fight that we're in, some of it is our fault. We were hard-headed. But I can tell you this, even when you're hard-headed, Miss Scott, put your fingers, Pat, Sandra, put your fingers in your ears. Miss Anderson, you educate, Deacon Davis, all you educators, all you educated people, put your fingers in your ear because I'm going to say it like I want to. But even when you're hard-headed and mess up, the Lord are faithful. Yes, sir, the Lord are faithful. Anybody in this room that think you've had a perfect life, you're only fooling yourself. It is his faithfulness unto us that we are yet. In fact, the Bible says it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. That's why when the old folk walk around and you say, Lord, have mercy, they were shown up right. In fact, I'm telling you now that the mercy of the Lord is why we're still here today. Yes, sir. Okay. 8 of y'all want to go ahead and say it. The rest of y'all are trying to act like that. But I'm telling you now that the mercy of the Lord, the grace, the kindness, the compassion is why we can wave our hands right now. Because if they had a video camera in some of the places you went and TMZ came on, you would be exposed. Am I right about it? Nudge your neighbor and say, thank God. With no camera. Amen. Amen. That's why nowadays when you go anywhere, you got to make sure that you look for the cameras first. No, I'm just kidding. Some of y'all are going to mess this up. Let's stand on our feet together. Let me tell you what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to encourage you because it's going to happen. He said when we run into problems and temptations, we're going to get happy, man. Listen, don't nobody want to walk around here dragging their feet. Especially in the wintertime, dragging your feet across the floor creates static. You get shocked and your britches get this sticking to you, you know. You got to pick them up and put them down. And let me tell you something. We only going to feel sorry for you, but so long. And then we're going to get sick of you with your sorry self. We're going to stop bringing soup and stuff to your house because we're tired of you. You ought to get over that by now. Amen. Tell your neighbor, there is a thing called by now. Amen. I mean, come on now. You first of all, we know you did it to yourself. Now, we was trying to be nice. But listen, confrontation is common. But your conflict should build your confidence. And please understand that the comfort of the Lord will never be compromised. Remember that old prayer we taught? Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake. Why do we put that if I should die in? Because we knew we had a bad day. And we knew if the Lord called the taxes in, we're going to be short. But if I should die before I pray the Lord. Now we're asking for that comfort and mercy. My soul to take. Lord, get me out of this. Amen. And so I want to encourage you to know today that it's not the fight that you're in. It's the fight that's in you. You can win. Matter of fact, I believe God's going to make sure that you win. Our deliverance is by design. Amen. Though a thousand may fall, God is still able. Amen. Because he was right. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. And you all are testimonies as to the same. God won't forsake you. Now, you know, if all things be considered equal, when we got a whooping, we earned it. Amen. I don't think I ever got a whooping that I didn't earn. I will testify that I didn't get some that I sure enough thought were coming. The Lord and otherwise. Well, come on now. How many of y'all know y'all done got away with some stuff? Just put up two hands. Thank you. Yes, sir. And so it is, beloved God. I want you to know, be encouraged. You're going to have to deal with the confrontations. The conflicts are going to come, but they'll build your character. The comfort is always going to be. God will always put his arms around you. Always kiss you on your face. Always dry your tears. That's stuff that he just does, that kind of stuff. And again, understand that the celebration is that the coronation requires celebration. You can't get no crown and go, well, okay, thank you, that's it. No, man, it's going to be, listen, we're going to sure enough drop it like it's hot when we get to heaven. It's going to be some celebrating going on. You hear me? When that's why they say when we've been there 10,000 years, they don't know how long the thing been going on. I'm telling you now, when we get to heaven, you better look out. Better if you come to my party. It's in his own. It's where Reverend Mitchell party. Child, don't you see where all the smoke coming from down there? Come on over here. And joy of the Lord is our strength. If you're here today and you've not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, you ought to do it right now because the fight's coming. That's one of my favorite lines in the movie Tombstone. Deacon Anderson, I know you've seen Tombstone, the good version with Val Kilmer and the boys, you know, one of the gang members, he looks at Doc Holliday and he looks at Val Kilmer's sheriff, Wyatt Earp, and Wyatt Earp brother, and tell him, you got a fight coming, and it's coming today. And they stand out there on the street like, yeah, that's all you got to say. And I like it when they get ready to go to the fight. You know, old Doc Holliday is down there, and he said, give Doc the shotgun. That'll bring a little confidence. That'll weaken their confidence. They see old Doc with that, you know, that street sweeper there. And some people, you got to get a shotgun. See, if I was going into a fight, I'd say, give Luther the shotgun. You know. Deacon Davis, you all right? No, you give Luther the shotgun. You know, you hold that cane he had. But, you know, it's something. You know, you're going to a fight, you got to look like you're ready to win. We can't go into the fight with the wrong person with the shotgun. Amen. Who going to carry your shotgun, bro? Matter of fact, everybody write down who your shotgun bearer going to be and pass it to the front. Amen. But if you've not accepted Jesus Christ, you ought to do it today. Because you got a fight coming. Some of y'all going to have to fight before you get home today. Amen. Some of y'all going to be fighting when you get on the first step. Some of y'all phone been ringing and you headed on silent. And soon you pull up that voicemail, it's a fight. Amen. The devil is busy. And some of y'all give him a lot of business. But the Lord says, you're going to win. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, can I get you to encourage your neighbor? Reaching over and grabbing their hand and say, neighbor, when the fight comes, help is on the way. Amen. Heads are bowed. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you right now to know that we have victory, that we have an adversary, but we also have an advocate. And our advocate is far more powerful than our adversary. In fact, God, what we do know is whatever level the devil ramps it up, you've already exceeded that. You're not a God that has to react. You've already put it into play. Nothing surprises you. And so, Father, it is today that the hand we're holding, the neighbor that is nearest to us, whatever they've got to go through, God, they're going to win. In fact, we encourage them to know
that you don't play fair for your children's sake. God, you'll hold up the sun if you have to. You've done it before. God, you will part seas if you have to. You'll dry up the brook. You'll bring a famine if you have to. But whatever it takes to prove yourself God, that's what you'll do. And we are more than adequate for the task, because the God we serve is God. And there is no God like our God who is God, because he's God. You're the sovereign of sovereigns. And God, we're honored to be called your children. And now, God, in this people today, do great things as they turn from this place, but not your presence. God, let them know that the fight is theirs. In fact, your word reminds us that you're a battle axe in the time of war. That you are our victory. In fact, God, because you got it fixed, you told us to hold our peace and let you fight our battles. You told us to go sit in the spectator section and watch me work it out. And God, we know that you'll work it out, because as the saints of old had declared, you did it before and you'll do it again. And so, God, in our departure preparation today, we simply say, thy will be done. Do it again and do it in me. Forgive us of our sins, we do pray. Have mercy. Bless this people. And God, make them ferocious like lions. Oh, God, give them tenacity and wherewithal. Give them courage and a spirit of warfare. They can gird up their loins, put on that helmet and that breastplate, sharpen up their sword, put on their fighting shoes, and go to war. God, make us walk like Miss Sophia on our way somewhere to handle our business. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at your name and say, neighbor, you better handle that thing. Amen. God bless you. Go in peace. We'll see you again real soon.